Thank you for joining us today. As Associate Pastor Paul shares the Word of God, our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Associate Pastor Paul with today's message.
Thank you, God. Thank you today for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for your grace, for your mercy, your goodness in our life, Lord God. Thank you that you don't give up on us, that you don't turn your back on us. And God, thank you today this morning that, you know, even though sometimes, Lord, we may not feel like you're there, God, by faith, we know that you're always working in the background on our behalf, maneuvering, positioning, networking, changing, working the environment, changing the atmosphere of our life, God, to bring us to the destination that you have for us. And God, the fact that we're here today is evidence that that is true. The fact that we're here in this place is evidence that it's true, God, that you're moving. So God, today, speak to our hearts. God, as we attune our ears spiritually, we open up our hearts. God, speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to dive right into what we're talking about today. If it's any surprise to any of you, I'm going to be talking about Jesus is Lord. That is our theme. But if you, for those of you that are taking notes, if you want to put a little subtitle, you can put Forever Changed. Forever Changed, because I'm going to talk about today about when Jesus pulls up, come on, into your life, you are never, ever, 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 never, ever, 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 never, ever, ever the same. You're different. That's it. You're different. So let's just look at a couple encounters here in the scripture, and then we'll kind of move more into modern day time. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, we see Jesus is out and he is choosing his disciples. And here's the first thing that I want you to understand. You don't pick God. God picks you first. And God picks you right where you are, in the mess that you are, in the place that you are. God picks you. And that's because we have a God that's full of grace, a God that's full of mercy. So here's Jesus. He's out being led by the Holy Spirit. And it says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee in verse 18, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and they were casting their net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now look at verse 20. Immediately. Say that with me. Immediately. Well, you know, Jesus, I'll get back with you in a couple of weeks. You know, I'm young right now. I want to live my life. I'm in the middle of a business deal right now, and there's some really important things going on. I'm actually, you know, trying to work this relationship I got going on right now, and I'll catch up with you later. No, look what it said. When Jesus pulled up in their life, immediately they dropped what they were doing and they followed him. It says in verse 21, and going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father. This is the family business. They're mending their nets. This is how they make their living. And he called to them, and look at verse 22. Immediately, they left their boat and they left their father to pursue Jesus. Now, church, here's something that's so important for us to understand. When Jesus pulls up into our life, it is a confrontation. And it is for us to make a decision to follow him or to follow our own fleshly, carnal, selfish pursuits. Bottom line. You know, I want to keep it simple. You know, I really want to keep it simple today, because it's all about stopping what you're doing and following after the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me to Acts chapter 26, and it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Pastor Tim was talking about this at a Wednesday night service, Saul. the Pharisee Saul and his encounter with Jesus. Now, it's important to understand and for all of us to know in here today that, you know, Saul was a very religious person. You know, Saul was not a heathen. Saul was not a guy who frequented bars and partied and drank and, you know, was a thief and a murderer. Paul was a very devout, religious person, extremely devout and religious person. As a matter of fact, Paul made a statement. He says, as far as following the law of God, I was found blameless. I can't even comprehend that. You know, I can't even get one of the 10 biggies down pat, you know, and Paul's saying, as far as following the law of God, blameless. But I love Paul because Paul never tired of telling his testimony. Anytime Paul got a chance, when he was around anybody, he'd start telling you about what God did in his life. And here's why. Because Paul had such a drastic transformation. And now we're going to look at this. So here is Paul. He's been arrested. You know, and golly, if you could read the story that what happened to Paul before he ever arrived to King Agrippa. This guy has been through hell and back. I mean, the devil has tried to take him out time after time after time. And Paul arrives before the most powerful man in their day, King Agrippa. And in verse 4, he starts his defense. He says, my manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, and they are willing to testify that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. So Paul was a very religious, church-going man, okay? And I now stand here on trial because of my hope and the promise made by God to our fathers, to which the 12 tribes hope to obtain as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope, I am accused by the Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving the authority of the chief priest, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote. And I punished them often in their synagogues. I tried to make them blaspheme the name of God. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even in foreign cities. And in this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and the commission of the chief priest. And at midday, O king, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those traveling with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why do you resist my will? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, it is I, Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet. Now watch this. For I have appeared to you for a purpose. For a purpose. To make you. See, God is in the business of appearing to people for a purpose to make them. You know, I think about the disciples when Jesus appeared to me. He said, follow me, and I will what? I'll make you. I'll make you somebody different than you are right now. I've got a divine calling. I've got a divine plan. I've got a purpose for your life. I've got a different way for you to go. And I'm telling you, church, at that moment, Paul encountered something for the very first time in his life that was far different than any of the religion that he had ever encountered his entire life. Now, we're talking about a guy that was committed. I'm not talking about a Sunday morning coattail Christian who shows up late, sits on the back row, doesn't engage, passes notes, and then checks out early. No, I'm not talking about a lukewarmer. I'm talking about a guy that was on fire for his religion Paul was a committed guy. But something was missing. Something was missing. Because if something wasn't missing, Paul would have been no different. But when Jesus pulls up in your life, come on. When Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the person of Jesus Christ, pulls up in your life, you're changed forever. You're never the same. I was raised in church. I was raised in church. I grew up going to church. I had grandparents that took me to church. In the early years of my parents' marriage, before the marriage fell apart and my dad became an alcoholic, we would go to church. I knew about God. I took communion. I went to Sunday school. I knew the Ten Commandments. I knew about Moses. I knew about Noah. I knew about the resurrection of the story of the resurrection of Jesus. I knew all of those things. Paul was a religious person. Paul went to church. He went to the synagogue all the time. Paul was a very religious person who was committed to God. He was exposed to religious things. I was exposed to religious things. But guess what? Jesus wasn't Lord. I was Lord. And really, church, that's what it's all about. You know, when we boil it all down and we're left with just what's in the bottom of the pan, it's all about who's the boss. Who's your master? Who are you submitted to in your life? I will never forget. I was 23 years old. This is 28 years ago. It was in August. I lived with two girls. I was a drug dealer in my hometown. You know, every day my lifestyle was drinking, drugs. At lunch, I smoked pot. At night when I got off, I'd pour me a glass of wine. I'd smoke pot. I'd go out and drink, party, do drugs. That was my lifestyle. That's what I did all the time. All the money that I made so that I could do that. That was my lifestyle. That's how I lived all the time. I did that for 8 years. That's how I lived. I remember one night in August in 88, I was 23 years old. I came home, got home in the wee early hours of the morning, which was very common for me. I was laying in my bed trying to fall asleep all by myself, no friends, no noises, no partying, no music, just me, laying in my bed. And I hear this voice. And the voice says to me, "If you don't leave this town, you're going to die." Now, I'd already lost a couple of friends to drugs and alcohol. As a matter of fact, my very best girlfriend I had buried a month before this moment in my life. And when that moment happened, I wasn't at church. I wasn't at camp. There was no lights or music playing. It was just me by myself. And I heard a voice. Now, I didn't hear it in my ear. You understand? But I knew that it was God's voice because I had not heard that voice. And it was very clear to me. It was strong in my heart, in my chest. My heart was pounding. Tears just began to flow down my face. Because God was appearing to me. Just like He did the disciples. Just like He did the Apostle Paul. Jesus was appearing to me. We've all had him appear to us at some point in time in our life. And if you hadn't, today's your day. It is the most important moment in every human being's life is the moment that Jesus Christ appears to them. No greater, more important moment in your entire life. It's the most life-altering, life-changing moment of your life. And I remember God speaking to me. He said, Paul, many young men, they've come into this world, they've lived their life, they've passed on into eternity, and nobody remembers their name. Nobody. And God said to me, he said, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? Where are you going to go when you die? See, Jesus was appearing to me. God was speaking to me. Just like he came to the disciples, just like he came to Paul, there comes a moment in your life. There has to be that moment in your life. And it would be real foolish to think that just because you're here today, that right there is taking place in your life. Because like I said, I went to church. I sat in church. I went to youth group. I went on the ski trips. I heard the message preached. I slept through lots of sermons. Are you hearing me? But there was a moment in my life where I encountered Jesus. I encountered Jesus. My mom drugged me to so many church services. But I wasn't changed. My heart was still dark. It was still all about me, my way, what I wanted to do, what I felt like doing. See, at that moment, Paul was the Lord of his life. As we look at Saul of Tarsus, Saul was the Lord of his life. But see, God created the human heart for someone to sit enthroned upon it, and it's not us, it's him. And you can go to church, you can be involved in connect groups, you can even teach Sunday school, you can stand up here and play in the band. I went to a church ministering, and this is after I encountered Christ, my life was drastically changed. Two or three years after that happened, I remember going to a church, and we would do ministry with young people, and we were there that morning in this church, and the lady in that church had been playing the organ in that church for 20 years. 20 years faithfully playing the organ in her church, and that morning she encountered Jesus Christ. Not religion, but Jesus Christ. And she gave ownership of her life to Jesus, and she was never, ever the same. See, the Lord wasn't the Lord of my life at that time. I was the Lord of my life at that time. But the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I knew about religion, but the whole time I was a slave to sin. I knew about God, but the whole time my flesh controlled me. I did whatever it wanted to do. If my flesh was moody, I was moody. If I wanted to lie, I would lie. If my flesh said still, I would still. If my flesh said go do this, I would go do it. Because I was controlled. I was a slave to the enemy. But when I met Christ, I was translated out of the domain of darkness. And I was transferred into the domain of light. And you know, it's amazing. It's so funny. I mean, I still laugh at this. So I met Christ in my bed, cried. My heart was changed. But I was still in the same environment. I had no Christian friends, nothing. I got up that morning. My mom had come by, and She had put a brochure on my dresser, and it was about applied life. And, you know, I didn't know what applied life was. I never even heard of applied life. I'd never been to Arkansas. I'd never been to Brook Hill. My mom had actually come to one of the seminars that Miss Hetty Lou had put on, and that's how she got the information. And I don't know how long my mom had been holding that brochure. I think she'd been holding it a couple of years. And I woke up that morning, and I saw that little trifold brochure on my dresser. Now get this. Now you're talking about a guy who did drugs every day, who drank every day, smoked a pack of cigarettes every day. I've been doing that for 8 years straight. Wounded, hurt, mad, bitter, confused guy. And the minute I saw that brochure, you know what I said in my mind? I'm going to Arkansas. I didn't know anybody up here. I didn't even know what I was talking about. That I'm going to Arkansas. So that was probably about midweek. Well, my tradition every weekend was to go out in the country and have a campfire, and we'd get high. You know, we'd drop acid or take some X or do some alcohol or smoke or whatever. Whatever we had, we would get high, and we would sit around a campfire, and that's what we did every weekend. We would not go into town because, you know, we had a lot of contraband, and we'd be in jail for a very long time. So we just stayed there. And I remember sitting around that campfire that night. And I was with all my friends. And all of a sudden, it was like I left my body. And I was floating around up here. And I looked down, and I could see my friends, and I could see myself, and talking and doing. But I was up here watching. And God said to me, "You no longer belong here." And then it was like, you know, I was back. And then the next thing that came out of my mouth, and I can't believe this came out of my mouth. I'm sitting all around my buddies, drinking, smoking pot, and I say to them, "Hey, I'm going to Bible college in 2 weeks." And they're all like, "What? What are you talking about, Kern? I'm going to Bible college in 2 weeks." Man, you're crazy. I mean, you know, just you're bringing us down. Talk about something else. But I'm telling you, even though I had no Christian friends, my mind was not renewed, I had not been in the Word, I had all these habit patterns, but let me tell you something. It went from the 18 inches between my brain and my heart, it went from here to here, and Christ became real, and at that moment, Paul Kern was a different man. And it was in a course of 2 weeks, I stopped everything. I packed all, I remember coming up here and meeting with Pastor Tim. He was 35 years old at that time. I was 23. He even had hair and big, funny-looking glasses. Well, he didn't have a lot of hair. He had some hair, not a whole lot. And I remember saying, you know, this is where I'm supposed to come. And he said, "Well, we're full." And I was like, "Okay, that's fine. All I know is I was led here, and this is where I'm supposed to come." I didn't even really know what all, because there was no internet. There was nothing. You know, barely even typewriters. That's back when the dinosaurs walked the earth, you know. Hey, stop laughing. That's not funny. So I'm telling him, and he's like, "Well, if it's meant to be, it'll happen." And that was about a week and a half before school was starting. And about 4 days before school started, he called me and said one of the guys that was going to come, his finances or something didn't work out, and there was a spot open. Who knew? Who knew? See, when Jesus appears to you, it's for a reason. And everyone in this room, you got to understand that. From the youngest to the oldest, Jesus appears to you for a purpose, to use you for his kingdom. And you may be a loser from a broken home. It doesn't matter your background. When Jesus puts his hands on you and he blesses you and he anoints you, he appoints you, and then he sends you, and you're never the same. You're never the same. Go to Philippians chapter 3. I want to read to you what the Apostle Paul said about his former life as a religious person before Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. He said, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in my flesh also, if anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day," according to their religious rites, "and of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews." That's the number one tribe. "And as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, I persecuted the church. As to righteousness under the law," check this out, "blameless." Can anybody say that here today? This guy was serious. "But whatever gain I had," now watch this, "I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. You can only say that if it's real. Jesus was telling a parable. He said, you know what discovering me is like? It's like a man who's out in a field and he discovers a pearl of great price. And so what he does is he goes back to his home. He gathers up all of his possessions, everything that he has, and he goes and sells all of it, all of it. He sells it all, and he goes back and he buys that pearl of great price. Total sellout. "You want to go to church? I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Do you want to go to church? Well, you know, you live for Jesus, you know." I have a hard time talking people in to live for Jesus. When I encountered Jesus, my life was radically changed. I went from being a guy who smoked dope and drank and lied and cheated and stole every day of my life. And then when I met Christ, radically, my life was changed. Never touched another one of those things again. Didn't want them. Different. And I'm going to tell you, church, when Jesus pulls up into your life, you don't keep living like he didn't. You're different. You're different. Now, if you're religious, things just keep on ginning the way they were. You can come to church here. You can come to church here. Young people, you can grow up in church here. You can come to church here and not be forever changed. You can go through the motions. You can come to our Christian school. You can be at church here this morning. You can be warm in a pew and not be forever, ever changed. Paul said, "I count all things a loss." He said he considered his former life garbage. And when a person encounters Jesus, see, when Jesus shows up on the Damascus road of your life, Paul was blinded by that encounter. He was, you know what that means? He was blinded to his former way of life. He became dead to that old man. He was blinded to that. And those scales fell off of Paul, and he had brand new eyes. He had a brand new heart. He had a brand new mind. He had a brand new passion. I'm telling you, listen, I've been in the ministry for a while, okay? But when I first got saved, I was not in the ministry. For a number of years, I was not in the ministry. I did air conditioning and refrigeration by trade before I ever even came here. When I went through the internship and I graduated, it was a two-year Bible college at that time. When I came through the internship and graduated, I went back to doing what I knew to do, air conditioning and refrigeration. Some of you have been here long enough to remember that. Not many, but some. How does that happen? But every day, I'm telling you, every day, every single day that I woke up, you know what was on my mind? It wasn't air conditioning. That was what I did, but that wasn't who I was. Man, I thought about Jesus all the time. I look for opportunities all the time. Because see, when Jesus comes into your life, he changes you. You're a brand new heart, a brand new mind, brand new passions. I'm not talking about some low quality emotional decision that you made at one point in time in your life. No, I'm talking about encountering the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and your life has changed. Boy, I love our pastor. He's always quoting Galatians 2:20, and that's one of my favorite verses too. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. Come on, let's just meditate it. Let's just break it down. This is reading down. Yeah. I've been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live. 28 years ago, Paul Kern was buried in a watery grave in baptism. Came up a new person. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Not in my church, not in my religious activities, in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me ask you a question here this morning. Have you had that happen for you? Because that's the most important question in your entire life. Have you had that happen for you? And I love what David said this morning. It was so good. He said, we're not talking about Jesus as Savior when he saved you. No, listen, church. Salvation is a very selfish thing. Y'all understand that? It's a selfish thing because Jesus is saving you from hell. Right. Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, right. That's selfish. It's all about you. That's right. I got my ticket. Lordship is a whole nother story. Lordship requires dying. And get this. Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. See, it's one thing. Well, I got saved 10 years ago. Well, I got saved 5 years ago. Well, yeah, I was at a camp meeting 33 years ago when I got saved. I appreciate that. That's an awesome, wonderful thing. I will never forget that moment in my life. But let me tell you something. You don't set camp there. You don't. God had the tabernacle in the Old Testament. That was where his presence dwelt. There were three chambers to the tabernacle. The 12 tribes camped around the tabernacle, and there were three chambers to the tabernacle, the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place. The most holy place was where the literal presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, was. And only one person could enter in that place, and that was the priest. Now, this is very symbolic, and I don't have time to teach on this. Maybe we can do a study on a Wednesday night or something, but the 12 tribes camped around the tabernacle, never entering into the Shekinah glory. They just camped around it. And then there's levels. There's the outer court, and in the outer court, there's the laver where you wash your hands. Your acts of service, your ritual duties, your religious exercises. And then you move into the inner court where there is light. There's the candlestick. There's the table of showbread where the bread of the Lord is. And you can partake. But then there's that inner chamber. Their inner chamber. And understand, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he tore the veil to that inner chamber, that holy place, and he opened up a way for you and I to come in and fellowship with the Father. The Father. That's the goal. The goal is to know the Father. And when you know the Father, you're forever changed. I don't have to have people talk me into staying saved. I don't have to have people talk me into not climbing in the back seat of a car with some girl. I don't have to have people talk me into not doing alcohol anymore. I don't have to have people talk me into loving Jesus. I don't have to have people talk me into coming to church. I don't have to have people talk me into wanting to do right. I don't have people talk me into telling people about the Lord. It's who I am. That's who I am. When you take a shirt and you dip it in dye, every single fiber is changed. You're never, ever, ever, ever the same. You see, once I did what I want to, what I felt like doing, but now I have a new owner in life. See, once fear was my master, but now I have a new Lord in my life. Once selfishness was my master, but now I have a new Lord in my life. You understand? Once unforgiveness. Boy, I was so angry at my father. I walked in so much bitterness. That's what caused me to drink and do all the drugs I did, the hurt, the resentment, the pain. See, that was my master. That was my Lord. But when Jesus came into my life, he set me free from all of that. I didn't have to do drugs and alcohol anymore. I didn't have to do prescription medication anymore. Jesus set me free. He delivered me, and he became my Lord and Master, and I was never, ever the same. Come on, let's give God a hand clap this morning. Come on, in this house. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for touching us. No longer a slave to sin. No longer a slave to my flesh. But now I'm free to be who God has called me to be. When Jesus shows up in your life, he appears to you for a purpose. Boy, I love it when Jesus asked Peter, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, you know, my mom, you know, she goes to church and I go with her. Who do you say the Son of Man is? Well, you see, you know, who do you say the Son of Man is? Well, you know, I come to church on Sunday morning sometimes. You know, I even give God some money occasionally. Who do you say the Son of Man is? Who do you say, Peter? He said, I mean, look in Jesus right in the eye. And we all will. And we need to think about it. And he said, you're the Christ. The Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, oh, you didn't get this from your mama. No, you didn't get that from your daddy. You didn't get that from your church. No. You own that one, Peter. God revealed that one to you, my man. And Jesus said, you are Simon, but you shall be Peter. You are Simon, but you shall be Peter. Come on, you are. You shall be. You are. You shall be. You are. You shall be. See, you're like shifting sand, Simon. You're full of instability. You're up, you're down, you're in and out. Nobody can depend on you, but I'm giving you a name change today. You were Simon, but now you are Peter. And upon this revelation that you know me personally as the Christ, the Son of God, I'm going to build my church upon that. That's what I'm going to build my church on. on that. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Doesn't get preached much often anymore. But it says this, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. That's the painful part. Because you do have to deny yourself to follow after Jesus. I just want everybody to know that in the room today. Now, there are people that know that, but we have a generation of young people that are growing up that don't know that. But these are the words of Jesus. These are the words in red. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, when Jesus becomes Lord of your life takes a different course. Your friends change. Your entertainment changes. The way you think changes. How you treat your wife changes. How you treat your husband changes. How you talk to your children changes. How you handle your money changes. How you entertain yourself changes. It says, because anybody that was going to come after me, he must deny himself. Take up his cross. Where was Jesus going with the cross? To the mall? No, Jesus was going to die. He was going to fulfill the will of his Father. And we do not fulfill the will of God until we die to ourselves. You're no longer calling the shots. Man, I used to call the shots. I thought I was so cool. I had, you know, the long hair and the motorcycle and the car and the girls and the stuff. And I just thought I was so cool and I was so lost. And I'm so thankful that I'm so found. Amen. I'm so thankful that Paul Kern is not making decisions anymore. But let me tell you something. It's important you understand this. You'll try to be. Your flesh will try to be. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Every day when your feet hit the floor. Who's Lord today? My moods? My attitude? My fear? My hurt? Nope. No, I choose this day whom I will serve. Jesus is the Lord of my life. I can't think of a better time than today. We're at the end of January, the opening month to a brand new year, 2016. Our theme is Jesus is Lord, and I can't think of a better time for you if you're here today than for today to be your day. Today to be your day. I'm not talking about coming to church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, showing up, meeting your obligation. No, I'm talking about a radical lifestyle change. Now, here's the thing. You know, when we were at this church and we were ministering, this woman had been playing the organ for 20 years. Can you imagine the courage that it took? For that woman, playing the organ in her church for 20 years, to come down for an altar call and give her heart to Christ. But you know what? As I look back on it, it wasn't hard for her at all. She was so hungry for something real. She wanted something real in her life. She was so tired of playing the game and going through the motion and being empty and it not making any difference in her life. Don't you get tired of that? She was tired of meeting her needs in different ways other than looking to Jesus. Looking to God's word, letting that make the, be the difference maker in her life. And boy, she came down, tears just streaming down her face. And at that moment, that day, her life was forever, ever, ever changed. Today, I'm praying that you won't let a religious spirit come on you. But today can be your day. forever changed. Today can be your day. Well, what are people going to think? Well, you don't care what people think. I don't care what people think. I care less what people think. I'm not. People won't judge me. God will. Come on. Amen. Come on. Anybody else? We're doing business with God. Come on. Amen. Come down the altar. This is what this is all about. Come down the altar. You're not coming to me. This is all about you and Jesus today. Can we break a religious spirit off of us this morning? I go to church. So? Is that what you're going to tell the Lord? A broken and contrite heart. God will not despise a broken and contrite heart. Come on, adults. There's some adults here. Don't come on. God, get this is your moment. And they're not to be taken for granted. Because there's no guarantee that you leave this building today that you will get another opportunity. Not saying that anything bad is going to happen to you, but there is no guarantee. Jesus will forever change you. Forever. And every day that you wake up, your mind is consumed with pleasing Him, knowing Him, pursuing Him, and telling everybody about Him. And if that's not you, then you haven't met the same Jesus that I met. And you got to know today that you can meet a different Jesus. There is the religious Jesus, and then there's Jesus. Thank you, Father God, today, as we sit in this room, Lord, touch hearts. Touch hearts, Jesus. Don't be stubborn. Come on. Let Jesus deal with you. Bow your knee. Bow your knee. You're going to bow it now or you're going to bow it later, but you're going to bow. It's going to happen. And God's not going to make you. You know, a lot of people, I hear people say, you know, when you die and go to heaven, you're going to bow. You will bow. God will make you bow. God's not going to make anybody bow. God's never made anybody bow, and God will never make you bow. You will bow because of His glory. It'll be so overwhelming, you can't help yourself. This is what it's all about. A broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. God exalts the humble, but He brings low the prideful. And our flesh can so get in the way of God's plan and what He's wanting to do in our life. So today, this is about making Jesus the Lord of your life. But let me ask you something as I get ready to close. Is fear the Lord of your life? Is anxiety the Lord of your life? Worry? Is that the Lord of your life? See, we'll wake up every day and worry is our Lord. Fear, anxiety, depression. Oh boy, that's a big one. Do you know how many people in church today are depressed? Depression holds them. It's a dark cloud. It's over them everywhere they go. Robs you of your energy. Yes. Robs you of your vitality. Robs you of your hope. Robs you of hope for a better tomorrow. Jesus wants to set you free from depression this morning. There are people in this room by the Spirit of God. I hear them right now. There are people in this room that depression has had you, and today Jesus wants to set you free from that dark cloud over your life. Come on, respond. 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 Respond to what God is doing. This is your day. Respond. Don't just sit there. Respond. There's no point living in it. Medication, and you can take it, but it won't heal you. Amen. Come on. Come on. We're doing business with God. God is wanting to fill this place with His presence and His anointing, but it's only going to happen as we come under the Lordship of Jesus, and there is a change of ownership, and we're changed forever. We're changed forever. We're never, ever the same. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you this morning. Come on. All of you down here. All of you down here right now, I just want you to listen to me. God loves you. Oh, He loves you. And the devil's been lying to you. But today is your day. This is your moment. This is your moment right here in time. The most important moment of your life right here. The most important moment of your life where you transfer authority from you running the show to Jesus being your Lord and Savior. Jesus being a reality in your life. A reality in your life. Jesus, the person of Jesus being in your life. Come on, church, stand with me here this morning. Let's have some people come down, lay hands on these folks. Let's pray for them. Come on, let's be the church. Let's be the church. Let's not worry about the roast or the chicken. Let's be the church. Hallelujah. Love on these folks. Pray for them. Pray for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're transferring ownership today. Jesus. Precious Jesus. The pearl of great value. We sell it all. We lay it all down to know Him. We lay it all down to know Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Loneliness is no longer your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. And He is everything and all that you need. He is everything and all that you need. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for touching your people, God, with your Spirit. Thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, we lay down our life, God. We lay down our way. We surrender our life to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Boy, I tell you, there's nothing better. Nothing better. Your life will never, ever, ever be the same. Never, ever, ever be the same. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for this man of God. Thank you for him responding to the call on his life. Thank you, Father, Lord. Thank you for this couple. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you for the work that you're doing. God, that you have brought them together divinely. You have set them apart for a purpose and a plan. And today they're coming into that plan in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, been translated in the name of Jesus. Translated from a life with us being in charge to a life of making you the Lord and Master of our life in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give God a hand clap. Yes, yes, it's the pearl of great price. He's the pearl of great price. Everybody down here, all of you guys that came down here, I want to say something to you before you head back to your seats. You're going to watch, and you mark my words, you just watch. And you've already felt it happen. but a burden comes off your life. A weight, an encumbrance comes off of you, and this lightness comes on you. And for the first time, I'm free. I am truly, truly free, and I don't need anything that the world is trying to offer me, because I found the real deal. I got the real deal right there. Forever, forever, forever changed. And so now what do I do from this point forward, Paul? You wake up, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, and you move forward. What do I do the next day? You wake up, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, and you move forward. Well, what do I do the next day? You wake up, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, and you move forward. And you do that every day. And listen, you got to understand, the journey is the destination. Don't look for a certain point. Because if you're looking to arrive at a certain point, once you arrive at that point, you're looking for another point. Don't pursue God's purposes, God's plans, or God's promises. Don't pursue those. Pursue the person. Pursue the person. As you pursue the person of Jesus Christ, all the plans, promises, and purposes are all going to take care of themselves. That's God's promise to you. We're not smart enough to do all that anyway. We just keep our focus on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's give a hand clap for these guys one more time. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.